That's Arnie Naiman with Playing Jane from his new album. It's entitled My Lucky Stars, and it's a collection of mostly original five-string banjo music. And it's an album that features some solo banjo, some banjo guitar duets with Chris Cool, and also some band numbers that also feature John Showman and Arnie's daughter Hannah Sharon Naiman on fiddle, alongside Max Heinemann on bass. And I'm so pleased to be able to welcome to Folk Roots Radio today Arnie Naiman. How are you doing today, Arnie?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you join me today. I love the new album. I say that Playing Jane is a fabulous, fabulous track. What I'd like to do is to talk about the album. But as we played that track to start off, can you tell us a little bit about it?
I play a lot of traditional music with various friends I have around Canada and the United States. And I have a friend, Jane Rothfield, who plays a lot of fiddle and some banjo in the United States. And she makes up a lot of fiddle tunes herself, contemporary fiddle tunes, but in an old time style. This tune just kind of popped out on my banjo and I was working on it. And I thought, it really reminds me of something that Jane would make up on the fiddle. That's why I called it Playin' Jane.
Is it quite common for banjo players to look at fiddle tunes for inspiration? I mean, whether it's making banjo arrangements or coming up with your own tunes like this that, you know, may have a little bit of a thematic quality that might, you know, reference other people?
I don't know if there's a lot of banjo players that do what I do that make up tunes on the banjo, but certainly my background is in traditional music. And so I have a lot of experience and a lot of tunes in my background. So whenever I make up a tune, the source of something creative always comes from something that I've done in the past with traditional music. So that's my inspiration.
Now, I think you've been playing banjo, what, for 40 years now? Is that right?
Yeah, time marches on. I started in the mid-1970s early 1970s. And I bought a banjo in Toronto at the old Toronto Folklore Center way back then and hauled it over to the Mariposa Folk Festival on Toronto Island. I got a lot of inspiration from Michael Cooney, who played there, and Pete Seeger. And I met a couple of people waiting for the ferry. I remember hauling my banjo there, and they had fiddles with them, and they wanted to play some tunes with me. And I was an absolute beginner, and I sheepishly said that I only knew a couple of tunes. And they said, well, get it out and we'll play. And so I got it out, and that was my very first jam session with strangers. And it kind of changed my life. You know, from then on, I kind of searched out other musicians and started learning fiddle tunes on the banjo. And I discovered a whole community of people that started to play old-time music at that time. And they became some very good friends of mine. They still are.
So were you playing guitar before you picked up the banjo? Or?
Yes, I played guitar for a very long time. You know, more contemporary folk songs, you know, the Dylan, Gordon Lightfoot, the Neil Young, that kind of thing, until I discovered traditional music.
And I think once you started playing the banjo, and there's this great story, actually, I found on your website at arnienaiman.com, where you talk about how you had this wonderful experience at Mariposa and then discovered the joy of just jamming with people. And then did that take you off into this old time musical world, and you headed down to these Appalachian workshops and music conferences and festivals?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you that around that time, to try and search out people in Toronto that played this kind of music, or even any other banjo players, you could maybe count on one hand anybody who played banjo or knew anything about the music in Toronto at the time. So, yeah, I had to go search it out. I started listening to a lot of records. I started buying records, the ones that were available at, you know, Sam the Record Man or the Toronto Folklore Center at the time. But then I started to go down to a few festivals in the United States that specialized in old-time music. One of them was the Brandywine Old-Time Music Convention in Pennsylvania. They had a lot of concerts around Washington, D.C. at the time. So yeah, I got to hear a lot of great people play, and I hung out in the back of jam sessions with my banjo trying to pick up what I could. And I had my cassette tape recorder with me, and I made a lot of field recordings. I still have them here in a bunch of drawers, and I take them out and listen to them every now and then. And that's how I started to learn the music. Then I'd go home and basically have to learn on my own, because, as I say, there weren't a lot of people doing it at the time. Now, the community in Toronto is incredible. There's so many great, young, talented people playing this music.
And I think you met your partner, Kathy Reed-Naiman. Did you meet her when you were at an old-time conference, or was that back here in Toronto?
I met her in Toronto. She was involved in the folk music scene back then, and she was part of the Morris Dance team. And I met her at High Park with a whole Morris Dance troupe there. I was kind of interested in what they were doing. So, and then I discovered that she was involved in singing traditional folk songs at the time as well, and was a performer. She was at the Winnipeg Folk Festival before I even knew it.
Tell us a little bit about writing tunes for the banjo. This album, I think, has, there are 13 tracks. Most of it is original. I think we'd say 11 or 12 of the tracks on the album are original. And then you also have a Jim Childress fiddle tune on there as well.
That's right. I love that you read all the liner notes. That's really good.
I love liner notes. And it's funny because I get to audition a lot of music, and sometimes it staggers me that when people actually write their liner notes, I swear that they still think we all have the eyesight of a 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have to get my magnifying glass out a lot as well.
Because CDs, as distinct from vinyl, do not really give you the space. One of the things that struck me when I received my copy of My Lucky Stars in the mail was how well everything was laid out. You know, when I'm talking to people about, you know, you're coming up with your first album and, you know, putting it together, this would be an album I'd pick up and say, this is what you really want to have at the end of the day, because it has great detail.
Well, you know, that's one of my things. I've always felt that people should be able to read the liner notes. It's got to be in, the fonts have to be good enough for people to read. And the design has to be simple enough that the contrast is good enough for people to read the fonts. And, you know, you see so many CDs that I know you must see so many CDs that, you have difficulty doing that. So that was one of my criteria. And Debbie Adams, who did the graphic design, did a great job on that. Let's get back to your original question. It was about composing tunes.
Tell us a little bit about the tunes themselves. I mean, you took these are tunes that you've pulled together over the last 10 years. When you compose a tune, does it come out of your own practice time, or does it come out of perhaps time you're spending with other people?
Usually comes out of my own private time. And it usually happens when, you know, I leave my banjo hanging around my couch in the living room and just pick it up whenever I want. And sometimes I pick it up and just start doing something on the banjo and something brand new and interesting pops out. So some of these tunes, I would say, were composed in a very short amount of time. Like they just kind of popped out, and within 10 or 15 minutes, I had a tune. And some of them were a little bit more of a work in progress, where I'd make up something and then I'd come back to it later and add to it or embellish it in some kind of way. To me, it's a gut feeling. It has to do with what I've learned how to play, you know, with traditional music on the banjo. The banjo, you know, has a lot of different tunings. I use a lot of different tunings, just not a standard tuning. And some of these tunings have different kind of atmospheres, I would call them. They can lead to some nice, you know, phrases or melodies or certain things that I use in my tunes. I don't know what else I could really add to that. The creative process is a mystery.
You know, you've got solo tunes, you have, in this album, you've got duets with Chris Cool, who's playing guitar, and then you also have the band numbers. Is it the melody that you come up with that makes you decide that you want to play it with someone with a guitar, or you want to have it as a solo tune, or perhaps bring in, you know, some fiddles as well?
For this recording, I mean, I could have done the whole thing just solo banjo, but I wanted some different sounds, so people wouldn't get bored. It'd be a little more exciting. And yeah, definitely some of the tunes I imagine would sound pretty good with a pretty heavy duty old time slash bluegrass kind of sound. I just picked a few tunes that I thought would sound good with that, and brought them over to Chris Cool and John Showman to see what they could do with them. And those guys are incredible. And they worked up something pretty great, and we did it pretty much, you know, live in the studio. Just played it a couple times and got something down, and that was that. You know, I've been playing music with Chris off and on for many years. We did our Five Strings Attached CDs way back in around 1997 was the first one. On those recordings, there's a lot of original music on there as well, and Chris has a really good way of zoning into the melody of my tunes and making them come alive, and there's a very special feel. You know, he's got a very special feel. It's just such a great combination having Chris just back me up on guitar. So I got a few of those on the recording, and yeah, I felt that some a couple of the sparser tunes, the like My Lucky Stars, just needed a solo banjo, because it just felt like, you know, I should be playing that tune and looking up at the universe, just me and myself. And that it just felt that it should be that way.
We're going to play that tune just now. It's an interesting tune because it does give you that feel of the openness. And there's a certain sense of wonder. And we mentioned earlier about, we were talking about liner notes and how valuable they can be. But I did love one of the things you said, which was sort of talking about the fact that we are in this huge galaxy out there, this huge amount of space. And then you're talking about how wonderful it is to be playing the banjo. Was that why you wanted to make My Lucky Stars the title track for the album, that, you know, that you have felt really lucky to be here playing your banjo under the stars?
Yeah, absolutely. And by coincidence, I don't know if you noticed, inside there's a picture of the fingerboard of my Romero banjo. Jason Romero made it. And on there's all kinds of stars and planets. And so it was a perfect combination by coincidence, because I wanted to call this My Lucky Stars. And I thought, oh, great, I'll just take a picture of my some of the fingerboard on my Romero banjo and stuck that in there. And so, yeah, and I had this image of me standing in front of a lake in Northern Ontario. I have a cottage in Northern Ontario near North Bay, looking up at the clear night sky with all the stars and holding my banjo. And I gave that idea to Debbie Adams, and she came up with this brilliant cover, exactly what I wanted.
Let's play that track just now. This is Arnie Naiman, and it's the title track. This is My Lucky Stars. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's Arnie Naiman with My Lucky Stars from his latest album, the title track. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album. I want to talk a bit about banjos, because one of the things that I gathered from a Facebook comment you put up just a day or so ago is that banjo players tend to have lots of banjos.
First of all, bluegrass banjos have a big resonator on them because they want a very, you know, dynamic sounding bright attack. And the banjos that I play don't have resonators on them. They're open back banjos. But there's a lot of different banjo makers these days. There's a renaissance in luthiers that are making banjos. Every single different banjo you get has a different tone and response according to what tone ring they put in the actual banjo pot. Also, how the banjo is set up, with its bridge and tailpiece and the kind of strings you use. So I just got to say that when I first started playing banjo, I just had one banjo, and I had that one banjo for many, many, many years. And when I got together with Chris Cool, and he had this Vega tubaphone that just sounded fantastic, I thought, oh my God, if I ever find one of those banjos, I got to get one of those myself, because the banjo I had was sounding very bright, a little too bright for my liking. And lo and behold, I found somebody selling one of those on the internet, California, and I had him ship it to me. And so I ended up playing the same kind of banjo that Chris Cool plays. Although you can tell that if you listen to Chris playing banjo and me playing banjo, they sound different because we're both different players and we both have our banjo set up a little differently. He has higher action and I have a little bit lower action, and he plays with a fake acrylic nails and I play with a pick on my finger, and you can get different tones and different sounds depending on the way the banjos are set up and the kind of tone rings that are in there. So right now I have my Vega Tubaphone, which is still my number one go-to banjo because to me it just sounds great no matter what kind of music you're playing on it, claw hammer or finger picking or whatever, it just sounds great. But I also, in my hometown, Bill Rickard, who runs Rickard Banjos, in my hometown of Aurora, is making some incredible open back banjos of different styles, and I ended up getting one of those, and it's called a spun over banjo because it has a metal outside pot and with wood inside. It's called a spun over pot, and it has a little bigger pot than the Tubaphone, which gives it a bigger sound, a little deeper sound as well. And so I've used that on a few cuts on the CD. And I also have a banjo made by Jason Romero, who you probably know makes just fantastic, beautiful banjos and great sounding banjos. And I have one of his too. And so all these three banjos, they just sound different. They're all different. I took all three banjos into the studio and I started recording them. And I just decided on the spot which banjo would sound best with whatever tune, and I went with that. But I could have used my Tubaphone for everything, but I just wanted I wanted a different sound for some of the things.
You mentioned about the different banjo tunings. I was going to ask about tuning generally, because it seems to be quite the challenge with the banjo. I know there's lots of jokes about banjos generally, but also about the fact that they don't seem to stay in tune for very long.
It's a curse.
Why is that?
It's because you have some strings that stretch over a skin or, in this case, it's plastic, and it's very flexible. And if you move around too much with the neck, the strings can move. If you hit the bridge is just placed on the head between the strings. It's not glued on there or anything. So if you hit the strings too hard, that bridge could move a little bit and your banjo can go out of tune. They're just finicky. They're very finicky to tune. And I've had, this is my curse as well, is trying to keep banjo in tune properly, especially when you're playing with other musicians, it becomes an issue. So I've ended up actually on my Rickard banjo, I took off the banjo tuners because actually banjo tuners that they make standard on banjos aren't really very good. They have a 4-to-1 ratio, so they're not very fine. They're not fine tuners. Guitar tuners, the tuners you find on guitars, have about a 20-to-1 ratio, which makes them pretty fine. So I actually took the tuners off the Tubaphone, the banjo tuners off the Tubaphone and my Rickard, and I put guitar tuners on there. And Chris has done that too, and it just makes it a little easier to try and get your banjo in tune, but it still can be a difficult job.
I'd like to play another track from the album just now. I thought it would be fun to play one of the duets that you play with Chris Cool. Take Your Time is a wonderful track. The note you've added to it, it says it's better not to rush things in life, even when playing the banjo. Tell us a little bit about this tune.
Well, this is my little fun little tune that I started to make up this tune, and I thought it deserved to have just kind of a space. This space was just perfect to say, take your time. And I thought, I'm going to play this tune, I'm going to have the space. And in that space, I'm just going to say, take your time. And then I'm going to start it again. And I could have done that on the recording. I could have just said, take your time when I made this bit, but I left it blank. It's just kind of a fun tune. And then when I got to the end, I just kind of walked up to the ending to show that, I was really taking my time to get to the end. So it's just kind of a fun tune.
Let's play that just now. This is Arnie Naiman with Take Your Time, a banjo guitar duet with Chris Cool, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's Arnie Naiman with Take Your Time from his great new album, My Lucky Stars. Arnie's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album. And also we're going to talk about the live show, because you've got some shows coming up. I know you play with your daughter, Hannah, Hannah Sharon Naiman. You play shows with her. You also have, I think, a CD release. There will be a joint CD release taking place in Toronto in a few weeks, because you'll be playing on the same show with Chris Cool, is that right?
Yeah, Chris has just put out an absolutely fantastic recording. I don't know if you have it. It's called The Tumbling River. He wrote a lot of the songs on there, and there's a few traditional things. And he also has some of the same musicians. John Showman's playing on that, and some other musicians are playing. So, yeah, we're going to have a double CD release, and I'm going to get all the musicians who played on mine play as well, and it's going to be quite an evening. It's Friday, June the 17th at the Transat Club near Bloor and Brunswick. So come down. That's going to be a very special night of music, and anytime that I get to do music with Chris, it always turns out to be a very special thing.
And if you want to check out Arnie's website at arnienaiman.com, you can get all the details on that show. And I think you also play shows with your daughter Hannah, don't you?
I do play shows with Hannah. She's keeping me quite busy. Actually, she's going to be working on a new recording next week, and I'm going into the studio with her. She's doing her second recording of original songs. And she'll also be playing some fiddle on that one, too. So, yeah.
your website is probably the best way to keep track of what you've got planned.
I'm going to try and put all the events on there as they come up. So yeah, check my website, arnienaiman.com. And they could also contact me there. I have a contact page. And if they want to talk to me about my music or about banjos, I can also help them buy a banjo if they want, because I help out my friend Bill Rickard. Yeah, check it out, arnienaiman.com.
We're going to finish with another track from the album, and we're going to play Slipping and Sliding, one of your tracks, with a traditional tune at the end of it. Is that right?
It's called Boatsman, yeah, and that's from a fiddler in North Carolina by the name of Marcus Martin.
And this is a track that starts off as a solo banjo piece and then ends up with a full band version.
That's right, yeah, so it kind of leads up to something dynamic in the end.
It's been a great pleasure talking to you today, Arnie. This is Arnie Naiman with Slipping and Sliding from his great new album, My Lucky Stars.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.